The unison prayer. Lord, we sense your work among us. As we ponder your wilderness experience, we pray you lead us in our trials and temptations. Lead us to the cross where your love, grace, and mercy poured out. Remind us to the frailty of life and help us make each day count. We now turn our hearts toward worship and long to draw nearer to you this very hour. Amen.
Joy to be able to know the Lord personally. Is Marlene here this morning? In the back, I hear there's a birthday to celebrate today. You share the same birthday as my mother. How cool is that? So let's join together in singing happy birthday to Marlene.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Marlene. Happy birthday.
Amen, and happy birthday to everyone else who celebrated birthdays this week or have birthdays coming up this week. We know spring is among us because there's things blossoming in my nose and in my throat, and so spring is coming. Things are budding, so we can praise the Lord that this weather pattern will soon indeed change. You'll be drawn to your bulletin for the prayer concerns. As always, feel free to contact me or the church secretary, and we'll make sure to get your prayer concerns listed in the bulletin as well as sending out on the prayer chain and the prayer phone tree. So that can be added to our bulletin each week if you would desire as well. But any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning?
I have a joy My joy is that my daughter and son-in-law had a baby boy this week. Trevor Michael was born on the 6th of March, and he's healthy in their home, and it's really wonderful to celebrate that.
Amen. And he stayed asleep the entire time I held him. Usually once they start to cry, I give them back to mom. Right, honey?
I know I haven't been here for a little bit, but I have an update on Mason's eye. He is a candidate for the cornea transplant, but this time we have decided to wait until he's a little bit older so he can mature a little bit. But things are going well for him. Thank you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for gathering us here in this place. We know, Lord, across the globe, there are those that gather that are being persecuted, even in this very moment. And we just praise you, Lord, for the peace that we have. We have the ability to meet with you this morning. And we so praise you, Lord. We worship you, for you alone are worthy of our worship. We do know, Lord, as we traverse through this life, there are illnesses that come our way. There are things that hinder our ability to function properly. And we just pray, Lord, by name, those on our prayer concerns and ask that your healing touch would be upon them, that you would travel with them through this struggle and through this suffering. And if it be your will, may your healing touch bring them to wholeness. And we lift up Carl this morning, and we lift up Barry and Linda and Derek and Paul and John and Xavier and Leroy and Dakota and Mason. And we lift up others that come to our mind now, and even if we would so desire, speak those names aloud during this moment of silence. We lift up individuals such as and we know, Lord, you are with each spoken name. We know, Lord, even those not spoken that are upon our hearts, Lord, you meet them where they are in their lives. And we thank you, Lord, for that. And we pray especially for the new life among us. We just thank you for baby Trevor. We praise you for Chelsea and Andrew and for Chloe and that extended family. And just ask that we would nurture them in the faith as they one day come here to worship, Lord. May we just celebrate that new life and the new life that you give us through the transforming power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we do know the cross is a place where your son died. It's where our sins are forgiven. And so we know through this week we may have sinned, and we just want to take pause in this moment to just confess and to ask for forgiveness. And those prayers upon our hearts we lift up to you as well. Thank you for hearing our prayers during these next few moments. Lord, we pray that you would be with those that have been lifted up in this time of silence. We thank you that we do have forgiveness and pray that each day we would walk in freedom, Lord, knowing that our sins are forgiven, and help us through the Holy Spirit not to go back to those sins, to be totally free, Lord, and to be set apart, to be holy, to be righteous. And we just thank you that we're able to do so because of your son, Jesus. We thank you, Father, for loved ones, and we know there are loved ones that have passed on before us, and we just pray for peace. We pray for comfort. We thank you for the hope that we have in the midst of loss. Those that have believed and trusted in you are now in your eternal home, in their eternal home, Lord, and we rejoice with those families, Lord, knowing where their loved ones are. But we do miss them dearly and just ask that you would just give us a peace and just help us find comfort, Lord, through you. And just thank you again, Lord, for that hope that you give us. We do want to lift up our brother, Bob Kettering, as he makes his way to our church next week, Lord. Prepare him as he brings spiritual renewal to us. And we pray that we would be obedient and just come and enjoy those evenings and know we're going to get something out of those. So thank you, Lord, for spiritual renewal here at Little Swatara. And just begin to pray for Bob even now, Lord, that he would just know your spirit is upon him. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this place. We thank you for the ability to meet together, to fellowship together, but most of all, just to worship you and to worship you alone. Help any distractions to be removed in this very moment, and help us to know that in the midst of our worship that you are being glorified, you are being honored, and that's our goal and that's our vision each week, to be able to bring honor to you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
prejudice shall cease. Let us speak the truth in love to the lost and least of these. Let us serve the Lord in unity so others will believe. Let us be the generation of reconciliation. Be the generation of reconciliation and peace. And let us build on one foundation till he comes and the wars of men shall cease. Let us share the love of Jesus without hypocrisy. Let us mercy and forgiveness begin with you and me. Let us be the generation of reconciliation and peace. Every night, one Father. Every night, together on our knees. Let us keep our hearts from evil and cling to what is good. Let us honor one another and love the brotherhood. Let us be the generation of reconciliation.
Thought this morning, I'm using the back of your More Than We Can Imagine 1 hour of giving, but I'd like to update the congregation. We are an amazing church and we're amazingly generous, and Jason and Nicole have been updating us from the Dominican, and Pastor Matt's old previous church has been there as well. But between the two churches, they have we have dug the footer, constructed walls, and Jason is hoping that we can financially, between the two churches, put a roof on the building. So, amen for that. More Than We Can Imagine. We sometimes think that imagination means something escapist or illusory, yet imagination is not something unreal or fake. No, it is essential to God's hope for creation. Hear how the Apostle Paul put it. Now to him, by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. God imagines a world where we are all safe, we are all loved, we are all fed. When we use our imaginations in the way that God does, he can begin to envision and work for a world where no child goes unfed, unhoused, or unloved, where no one fears abuse or violence, where clean water is not a dream but a reality for all. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are abundantly blessed here, and we praise your name with our offerings. We ask you to let us focus on the weeks ahead as we prepare for 1 hour of giving, that we find it in our hearts what we can give to others to provide food and water and shelter, to build a church, to provide support for families that are in need. We ask your blessings on the offerings that we present today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Every promise we can make, every prayer and step of faith, every difference we will make is only we shine, every blessing left behind is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Every soul we long to reach, every heart we hope to teach, everywhere we share His peace is only by His grace. Every loving word we say, every tear we wipe away, every sorrow turned to praise is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone, we will go forth in grace alone. We will go forth in grace alone.
LJ, why are you sitting all the way over there?
All right. I know LJ likes candy. Do you two like candy?
Yeah?
Okay, I would have a bowl of candy with me, but I didn't get to the store yesterday. So, imagine I have a bowl of candy. There's a picture of it on the screen. Helps your imagination. So anyways, do either of your grandparents or parents keep a bowl of candy sitting on their table?
Mm-hmm. I know Grandma does.
Does your grandparents? Not usually? You don't know? Well, at my grandma's house, there is always, always a bowl of candy. Olivia, do you like candy? Yeah? All right, you're caught up. So, at my grandma's house, there's always a bowl of candy sitting on her counter. Always. You can always count on candy being there. Well, when I was younger, she used to tell me, don't eat any candy before dinner. Do you think I ate a piece of candy before dinner? Yeah. Yeah. I always fell for the temptation. I love candy, especially chocolate. Chocolate is my favorite. Here's another story for you. Do you guys, I don't know if you guys would take tests yet. I know LJ. LJ, do you study for your tests? Especially your spelling tests?
I study for my tests.
You study for your tests? LJ, do you study for spelling tests? Now, what happens if you forget to study for that spelling test?
I think I still do fine anyway, because I'm a good speller.
You're a good speller, so it doesn't matter? LJ, what happens if you forget to study? Would you ever accidentally, you know, just glance at the paper next to you and copy some answers down, just make sure you're safe? Yeah? No? What would that be considered?
Cheating.
Cheating, yeah. Is that a temptation? The temptation to look over at that piece of paper and kind of copy an answer down? Yeah.
And what if they're wrong, then you'll be wrong.
Oh, that's a good point. If they're wrong, you're wrong. Well then, guess your cheating went wrong there. So, I know you've all faced a temptation of some sort. And do you think Jesus faced some temptations? Yes? Do you remember where in the Bible he faced temptation? Something about 40 days. 40 days, yeah, we're in Lent, 40 days in the desert, right? Did he face a temptation there? He went 40 days without food. Could you do that? No, I need my food. So the Bible tells us that Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the desert where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Do you know what Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil? Did he fall for the temptation? No. He always answered back with scripture. Jesus had nothing to eat for 40 days. He was hungry, and Satan knew he was hungry. So he asked to him, "If you are really the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." Do you think Jesus turned the stones into bread? Nope. He answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." Then the devil took Jesus to the highest place and showed him the worldly kingdoms below. "All of this belongs to you, to me," he said. "And if you bow down to and worship me, I will give it all to you." Do you think Jesus bowed down? No. He answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Next, the devil took Jesus to Jerusalem and led him to the highest point in the temple. He said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. God will send his angels to protect him." Do you think Jesus threw himself down? No. Again, Jesus quoted, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." Do you think the devil kept giving him temptation? Yeah? No? Yes? Well, the devil gave up. He said, "I'll come back and try another day." All right, at this point, I would give each of you a piece of candy and say, don't eat it before dinner. But again, I wasn't to the store yesterday. I didn't get your candy. Sorry. You have enough candy at home already? All right. Well, next time you go to eat a piece of candy or are tempted to go find a piece of candy and you want to eat it, remember, don't fall for the temptation. It's not worth it. Let's pray. Dear God, help us to learn what the Bible teaches us to do so that when the devil tempts us, we can do what Jesus did. Answer him with scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Please join us in singing "Hallelujah, My Father."
Hallelujah, my Father, for giving us your Son.
Reading will be a unison reading from John chapter 16, verses 16 through 19. Should be in your bulletin and also projected. In a little while, you won't see me anymore, but a little while after that, you will see me again. Some of the disciples asked each other, "What does he mean when he says, 'In a little while, you won't see me, but then you will see me, and I am going to the Father.' And what does he mean by 'a little while'? We don't understand." Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it. So he said, "Are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said, 'In a little while, you won't see me, but a little while after that, you will see me again.'"
For many of us, there was always that one person. That one person we could count on to call in the middle of the night. That one person we could tell anything and depend on for solid advice. Who knew how to tell it how it is and not hurt our feelings. That one person may have moved, or we may have moved. But even after years, you could pick up where you left off. It's like the conversation never ended. We could call these the true friends in life, those that have our back, those that don't judge us. They know our flaws, and they love us despite them. They'd even go out of their way to meet your needs. They bring joy and laughter. They bring peace and comfort. They get your jokes, even your sarcasm, cry when you cry, and rant when you rant. Their presence means everything. Without even saying a single word, they can brighten your day. But that day comes and that person is no longer with us. We're left with this empty feeling. Life has never been the same. That's what we have going on in our scripture today. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They've had the best of times, they've had the worst of times. They've known fear, they've discovered freedom, they've heard, and they've watched that person in action. He could be what they call near and dear. He knew every strength, he knew every weakness. He called them out if necessary. He challenged them, and he tried them and made them think. But more than anything, he loved them like brothers. He always came through. He never left anything hanging. He was the kind of guy you couldn't help but to like and love. You know, a lot like me. But then that day came. That one for us where the phone rings, or the person shows up at your door with the news. Jesus, in our scripture, more or less is saying, "So look, guys, I'm going away for a little while, and you won't see me. But then he goes on, I'll be back." Now, immediately, I'm thinking, oh, okay, he's just taking some me time. He's getting away from it all for a bit, and then he's going to return. No biggie. Hey, Jesus, have a great time. Relax, enjoy yourself. But the disciples are rather confused. They're muttering among themselves, "What does he mean he's going away and he'll be back? And what's with this little while?" But a few verses earlier, we would have read, "Because I'm going to my Father." Jesus knew they weren't quite sure what was going on. This wasn't some kind of hide-and-seek game. Jesus wasn't going to hide and they'd count to 20 and say, "Ready or not, here I come." It's actually quite the opposite. There wouldn't be any finding him at this point. Last week, you may have remembered Jesus saying, "You will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. But your day will come. You will see me again." The context can be found in verse 28. It says, Jesus is saying, "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father." The disciples are finally on the same page. They rather excitedly admit it in the following verses. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." Now, we can't help but to love what Jesus says next. "Do you now believe?" Jesus replied. In other words, it took you long enough, but I'm glad you get it. Friends, we can be in this place. We hear the word, we hear it over and over again, but it doesn't always make sense. But do you remember that day it did? And you're like, "Oh, that's what that means. I'm supposed to love everyone, not just my next door neighbor." So Jesus goes on and he brings it all together in verses 32 to 33. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." These words, "take heart, I have overcome the world," changes everything. That phrase, "in me you may have peace," beautifully concludes our series, "Pain, Pain, Go Away." It couldn't be any more true than in what we just read. Jesus has overcome. The grave has been overwhelmed. The victory has been won. But now, friends, we actually find ourselves ahead of our stories. We'll be talking about this more in a few weeks. So we enter now into this first Sunday of Lent, beginning on Ash Wednesday. I actually had my first Fasnacht, if that's how you say it, on what they call Fat Tuesday. But many of us come here in a spirit of denying things. We're denying certain foods. We're denying certain lifestyle behaviors. And it's not only good for 40 days. It can actually last a lifetime. But I'm going to make a confession this morning. I've already failed. You may remember me challenging all of us to give up complaining. Let me tell you, it's not easy to give up complaining. Maybe now I understand why Jesus decided not to eat. All it took was this alarm going in to visit my dad. And there I stood, the alarm blaring. Really? All I wanted to do was visit. People coming at me yelling, "Turn it off, the code is..." And in that moment, all you hear is, "Meh, meh, 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 meh." I had no idea what they were saying. I was only embarrassed, and I became a complainer. And I said, "Where is my sign?" And then there, right on the other side of the door, this very small, fragile nurse pointed, "There's your sign." Friends, the reality is this: temptation knocks, but we don't have to answer. That door, in fact, can remain shut, but it takes wisdom. It takes guidance. It takes knowing the Word of God. It takes tapping into the Holy Spirit. So now we find ourselves in Luke 4, and we're going to begin in verses 1 and 2. "Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry." Now, notice it doesn't say he needed a snack. A beef stick just wasn't going to do it. It says he was very hungry. I imagine we're talking about some type of buffet that would satisfy his hunger. Now, there's a few things I can't possibly go without in my life. Next to Jesus, next to my wife, food is one of them. You want cranky, just don't feed me. But friends, don't lose sight of what's happening here. Jesus was actually beginning to starve to death. He was that hungry. But don't lose sight of something else. He was very full of the Spirit. Sometimes it feels like the opposite. Our stomachs are full, but our spirits are empty. Satan, though, had no match, idea to match before him. Yet he tries to take it to a new level. Verses 3 to 13, we'll be reading from the Message version, says, the devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you are God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, it takes more than bread to really live. Look at those words for a moment, playing on. How many times in our lives do we get played on in our weaknesses? You know, Satan realizes we may not function well without sleep. So in the midst of our slumber, he may throw someone our way we struggle to love. And guess what? We're tired. We're not in the mood, but they keep pressing our buttons. And finally, what happens? We snap. We lose it. We say things we never intended to say, and as a result, ruin a relationship. Or maybe you've driven by that car lot the 10th time that week, and that car just looked like it would fit you so perfectly. It doesn't matter, it's a convertible. The kids have moved out. We don't need a minivan anymore. And before we know it, we're signing on that dotted line. Being played on takes what we call the flesh and stretches it as far as it can possibly stretch. And we'll give in to the temptation or the word of God, and the power it has to break every chain will result. You've heard it said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, but might we add, the word is even stronger. When we know what it says, we know how to win these battles. So then for the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. And the devil said, they're yours. In all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me. And they're yours, the whole works. Jesus refused again, backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God, and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. Friends, we don't have to look very far to see how the world tempts us with its pleasures. How the world tries to make us bow down to its influence. There's always that enticement to build our own kingdom. Pride even kicks in. We want it all. The love of money, the pursuit of happiness, the need for more, we won't stop until we have it. Our own massive empire at our fingertips. The key word there, friends, being our. It's not difficult to see the focus on us, what we need, what we want to get out of something. But the Lord says, worship the Lord your God alone. Serve him with all we have. Now, I'll be the first to admit, we put a lot of effort into a lot of things. But those things don't always line up with God. And so, in our efforts, consider if it's pleasing to God. Are we building our own kingdom or are we building God's kingdom? And then finally, for the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, if you're God's son, jump. It is written, isn't it, that he has placed you in the care of angels to protect you. They will catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone. Yes, said Jesus. And it is also written, Don't you dare tempt the Lord your God. Notice who is speaking here. The devil says, it is written. Do not be mistaken. The enemy, the devil himself, knows Scripture better than most of us. As a matter of fact, he could be called a Bible expert. But you can be assured, you can be guaranteed, he knows how to twist it out of context. And sadly, the world, even Christians, seem to accept anyone who quotes a Bible verse as if they were teaching God's very truth. But friends, the mere use of Bible words doesn't always convey the truth of God. You know, some scholars even suggest that Satan is such a Bible expert, he's found every single loophole. Knowing the Word, being immersed in the Holy Spirit, trusting in God's power, paves the path for each of us to resist temptation. And our passage ends, that completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. Friends, we don't need to be Superman. We don't need to be Spider-Man or Captain America or Wonder Woman or even Iron Man. We have the power within us, a force more powerful than any superhero, and I pray that you know he is called the Holy Spirit. One commentator said it like this, too much word and not enough spirit gets us puffed up. Too much spirit and not enough word gets you blown up. With the word and with the spirit together, guess what happens? We grow up. Nothing quite compares to growing up in Christ. And I pray that we may live Lent generously. Thrivent suggests making a top 40 list. Commit to doing one act of generosity each day. Pray it forward. Each day of Lent, add another person to your prayer list. Offer it up. If you've held on to a grudge, try forgiving. Try letting it go. Forgiveness is a gift only you can give. And give thanks. Send thank you cards to people who have touched your lives personally. But most of all, may we be a people of sacrifice, not only for Christ, but for others. And in doing so, we live a God-honoring life. As a matter of fact, we live the fullest life we can possibly live. And not only does the pain go away, the Lenten path sparks a newness within us that speaks into others. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this time of Lent. We pause and examine ourselves. We know where we've been, what we're doing. And Lord, you may not be very pleased. So we take time, even today, to further examine our motives, to consider where that word us is getting in the way. And Lord, help us to build your kingdom here on earth. Help us to serve you and to serve others. But most importantly, Lord, help us to love abundantly. We pray these things in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Please rise and join us in singing You Mighty to Save.
Compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. He is mighty to save, forever author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave, Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save, he is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave, Jesus conquered the grave.
Just ponder that first line. Savior, he can move the mountains. It doesn't say he possibly can. It doesn't say he might. It says he can. That's the Savior that we serve. So today, what mountain do you need moved? Leave this place trusting and believing that your Savior, Jesus himself, can move it. Amen.